closer with us. It's we need to be closer to you. And God, I pray as we sing that, Lord, it just gives us a good reminder going into this year and continuing to strive to grow and to just get that close relationship with you and where it needs to be. And God, we just thank you for the truth of that song. You are the only one at times who really cares. And God, I just pray for those who are needing to hear that redemptive story in our past this year, that God will be bold enough to share it with them. And God, we just pray that you'll continue to give us the open mind and understanding tonight as we study. And we pray this in your Son's name. Amen. All righty. Again, good to see you here tonight. We're going to get back into our study in Revelations. We've been away from it for several weeks. And we ended there at a pretty decent spot because we were just getting into chapter 6. And we realize that we're going to basically look really quickly at one verse, and then we're going to pause and ask some questions, because we need to have an understanding of this chapter as it begins, and we need to get a little bit of review where we've been. We know we've been through the churches. We've seen the churches in their understanding of what they had, what they were doing, what they lost, how God either commended them or reprimanded them. And so it really, the churches were a good depiction of the ages of and the things that were going on in our churches. And we can really see, as we looked in chapter 3, the very end, the church of Laodicea, and simply when written to them, God said he knew their works in verse 15 of chapter 3, that thou art neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were either cold or hot. And I really think that's a very good depiction of where church is today as a whole. You got some that are going after it, you got some that are hot, some that are excited, but then you got a lot of coldness going on. And the coldness, I think, comes with a more of a religion than the relationship. Because if you have a religion, it becomes nothing more than rituals. It becomes nothing more than going and doing and just being a part of something that doesn't require you to sacrifice anything or doesn't really require you to be involved. I talked to many pastors, and every church is struggling getting people involved to do things. And so it's like it becomes a religion. And it's more about a religion. When you have that relationship with Christ, you do things because of the depth of the relationship. And I explain it this way. You have friends, and you do things for friends. But when you have a loved one, you do much more for that loved one, and that loved one will take precedence over a friend. Or I sure hope it better. Let me put it that way. Hope it does. But you need to realize that the deeper the relationship with the person, the more you're willing to do, the more you're willing to be a part of. And that's the same with Christ. If we don't build on our relationship with Christ, then we're going to be just a religion. We're just going to be people who come, sit, soak, take it in, and do nothing with it. And so it's important that as we see that going in, and we saw that again going into chapters 4 and then chapters 5, chapter 4 was both of those chapters, we need to understand, were basically described, and this is like going into the first question, but let me read chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see." We're being invited in to something that is happening then and now. So the first question that we need to answer before we dig in too far is basically, is the events which begin in this chapter, the breaking of the first seal, is it past or future? Is it something that has happened, or is it something that's going to happen? And so it's important to understand some of this, because there are many people out there who aren't really adhering to what you and I may understand is the fundamental truths of the book of Revelation. And so when we understand that, realizing in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "And after this." And we looked at that and saw after what. So in chapters 4 and 5, basically, it was described after this. So there was a time, we now know that this or these two events, these two chapters, didn't take place until after something. And we saw that that after was the church. And many believe that after this, well, at the end of the church age, and what ends the church age? The rapture. So this is where the many people believe the rapture takes place after the churches are described. And chapters 4 and 5 are basically, it's just a looking forward to something that's going to happen. So as we saw in chapter 4, the throne in heaven, we talked about the 24 elders. And then chapter 5 talks about the seven sealed book, or who has the right to open the seal. And so chapter 5 is all about the only one, and describing the only one who was able, or the only one who was fit to open the seals. And interesting, as we see in verse 1 of chapter 5, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. If the book is sealed, it hasn't happened yet. It's still sealed. So chapter 4, verse 1 starts, says, after this, after the church. Chapter 5, verse 1 says, they're still sealed. So when you look at this, it's very important to realize many have tried to find fulfillment in the past. They look back like this has been fulfilled already. This is already happening. This is already done. And so just with the understanding of verse 1 of chapter 4 and verse 1 of chapter 5, these things have not happened yet. John is seeing something that is yet to come. He's saying, okay, the church now is out of the picture. And John got taken to heaven. He saw the throne, saw what it was going to be like. And then the question is, when he saw the book, who's worthy to rip open the seals? And so that's all of chapter 5. And so we get into chapter 6. But as we get into it, we need to realize that all the attempts to fulfill this as something that has already happened doesn't match up. It's not already happened. It's not already happening. It's something that is yet to happen. And still today, it's something that is yet to happen. The seals are not open, but we do know the one who is worthy to open them. But we're still living in this church age. We're still here. We're still a part of witnessing. We're still a part of sharing the redemptive story. That is a church age. And that's what you and I are all about, and that's why we're still here. So the first question is easy to answer. The events, basically, that begin with chapter 6 going forward is something is yet to happen. It hasn't happened yet. Second question, what is the relationship of the seals to the rapture of the church? How do they compare? How do you see them? And basically, when you look at the letter to Thyatira that was written in the beginning part of the scriptures in chapters 2, 25, and 28, raptured is pictured as yet a future event. So in the church before chapter 4, it's said in chapter 2, 25, and 28 that the rapture is yet to happen. Something, again, has not happened yet, but it's going to happen. So again, very important about the tie-in with what chapter 6 is all about. And then also in the church of Philadelphia, chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, there is something that states, again, about the rapture or about the church. But chapter 6, from chapter 6 to chapter 18, there is absolutely no mention again of the church. None. So, and we know that, we understand that, and as we see that, it's not a symbolic thing. And it hasn't happened, it hasn't been fulfilled yet. Something yet's going to have to happen for it to start and take place. So what is the event that's going to start chapter 6? Well, the event is the end of the church age. There has to be an event start, an event stop. Thyatira, Church of Philadelphia, chapters 2, chapters 3, we're talking about the church looking forward to something happening. Well, that something has to happen before chapter 4 and 5 and now chapter 6 take place. So again, looking at Is it happened? Is it, has it happened? Is it happening? Is it going to happen? It's all going to happen. We're all looking ahead at this. So the church is still here. We have not been raptured yet. And I don't believe we're going to stay here for any of this. We will be out, and that's going to start it. Because when you, chapter 6 again, there's no reference to the church or to the rapture. Basically, that's described in 1 Corinthians and 1 Thessalonians. So you and I would understand, okay, so that's common, that's common belief for most of us. But we're living in a day and age that does not have a common belief, does not have a common understanding. So they're being either taught differently, they're being taught things that put it, I believe, that there's no rush into making a decision for Christ. Because if you don't believe that there's going to be a rapture, then why rush this? Why can't I live like the world? And when things start getting a little bit bad and we go into this territory where life is really, then I will do something. Well, you know, you and I realize, listen, the rapture should never be looked at as a, I don't care what happens to you all, I'm out of here. That's not the intent of the rapture. The rapture should not be looked at as those who are going to be a part of it as a way out of all the mess. Because the rapture should be looked at as the beginning of God's judgment and fulfilling his promises on a nation that rejected him. So I hope you don't look at the rapture as, man, I'm just going to bide my time till the rapture and I'm out of here. Because I don't think that's what the rapture is all about. We should not be looking for a ticket out. We should be looking in ways to love individuals to Jesus Christ. We should be looking for ways to bring people to Christ. Don't worry about when is the rapture going to happen? Yes. When? Don't worry about when. Worry about witnessing and being ready until it happens. Because it's going to happen. Well, it's going to be for all those who are left on the earth. It's going to happen worldwide, yes. It'll be happening everywhere in the world. So even though Israel was the one that was going to be obviously a part of that, yeah, there'll be a lot of Gentiles in the midst of that too, because Revelation says that there were a lot of Gentiles saved from out of it. And we talked about that when we went through the churches and went through chapter 4 and 5, that, you know, some people believe that everyone will hear before the rapture takes place. If that is your belief, then you also believe in a second chance salvation. Because there are many Gentiles saved out of the tribulation time. If Gentiles were saved out of the tribulation time who heard the gospel message before the rapture, then they had a second chance. And that's not biblical. So there are going to be people who have not heard and people who have not been saved, and will go into the rapture, but will be saved in the rapture, or will be saved in the tribulation. Because, and again, think through the logical conclusions of some of their beliefs. Because you can't say everyone will hear before the rapture. If you do, then you have to believe in a second chance salvation. And that we know that not to be true. Because if you heard the gospel message and you rejected it prior to the rapture, I do not believe you will have a second opportunity. Contrary to the Tim LaHaye Left Behind series, I don't agree with that. Contrary to what some people believe, that I'll just wait till it gets really bad, when Scripture says he is going to be such a deceiver that even the elect, even those who know Christ would be deceived, they're not going to get it. You go to Luke 22 with the rich man and Lazarus, and the response, go tell my brothers. And what was the response from Christ? Listen, if they saw all this, they didn't get with me doing things, they're not going to get it again. They're not going to get it now. Thought process? Sure. Sure. I mean, you can't. Mm-hmm. But even that, everybody having to hear is not, again, well, everybody, how can I word it this way? Will everybody have an opportunity to hear about Christ before the great white throne? I believe yes. But the rapture is something different. So I truly think that they'll, and because if we, of course, we don't know in the time everybody's going to hear, but listen, mission work is great. Mission, you got to get out there and share the gospel with as many and everybody you can. It's go to the missionaries. Go do what God has called you to do. But to base the rapture on everybody hearing first, you're almost putting a time limit to it. You're putting a time frame on it. And so, again, God has it all planned out. God knows how it's all going to work. And that, to me, is the most important thing. But so when you look at the rapture and you see how it was, we are not mentioned in chapter 6 through 18. And the rapture of the church, no doubt, would take place between chapter 3 and chapter 4. Because that's when there is no more mention to it. So with that happening, the events in the chapter 4 basically precedes the tribulation. It's an understanding. Some have taught, some believe that chapter 3 ends. The vision he saw in heaven in chapter 4, that's where all the raptured saints will be. And therefore, you know, we'll be going through our Bema Seat judgment the same time the earth is going through their tribulation. So we will be being judged, but it's not the same type of judgment. We know that. It's a Bema Seat of judging for the works that you did for Christ on earth. So we'll be going through all of that, because the next time we come down, we're coming down already judged, already in our glorified bodies. We're all coming down to rule and reign with him. So all of our stuff has to be going on in heaven while this stuff is going on earth. That's the biblical sense. It has to happen that way. So understanding, again, the relation to the rapture is quite interesting. Many men have written on it. The good book on that is Charles Ryrie's book, The Final Countdown. It's a very good book by Wilford, and Rapture Questions, he wrote those. So there's good books out there that talk in detail about this. But I think it's very important because, again, as we start into chapter 6, he says, come and see. Come and see what's going to take place. And I really think at that moment, he's speaking to us today saying, listen, just come and understand what's going to take place. And I trust when we do understand what's going to take place, it stirs us to be better witnesses for Christ. It stirs us to be out there telling the redemptive story because we know what they're going to go through and we know what's happening. So the third question, we're going to look at three of them, then we're going to look at the last two next week. But the third question is this: what is the relationship of the seals to Daniel 9:27? So let's turn to Daniel 9:27. As we mentioned before, that if you want a good study in Revelation, you need to understand a little bit about Daniel, because it's the prelude. It's the one that prophesies a lot of what's going on in Revelation. And so Daniel 9:27. states this. It says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation that and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So when you come into Daniel 9:27, it's referring, it starts in chapter 20 through, and it talks about the 70th week or the week. And we know that to be not just a literal 7-day week, but it is said to be that it's 7 years. And so when we look at chapter 6, the events that are going on in chapter 6, basically the program concluding with the 70th week, Daniel 9:27, really, there's nothing that has been fulfilled in Daniel 9:27. There's been no history that has ever been fulfilled. So we're looking again forward to an event, something that is going to be happening. And so when the seals are open, and interesting enough, when you walk through this, it is considered again the last 7.5, or the last part of the final period of, and we know that the first 3.5 is peace. because for whatever reason, and again, you can go to Ezekiel 38 and the war that's going to be taking place in Israel and the Middle East. Right now, the war that is taking place in the Middle East, there are 12 nations with warships in the Red Sea. America is helping help guard some of the outlines. Is there a tremendous war going on in the Middle East? Yes. Is it going to get worse? Absolutely. If you're following anything in the news, they're going to be going into Lebanon here real quick. They have gone into Lebanon, and Hezbollah now is ticked because they killed one of the second command of all of it they got. And so now they're going to retaliate. And they're telling all the Lebanon citizens to leave because they're going to do the same thing to Lebanon they just did to Gaza. It's going to get worse. More people are going to get involved. Again, 12 nations in the Red Sea. Iran has now put a warship in the Red Sea. It's just escalating to a point. But it's still not this. It's still not the Ezekiel 38 war. So when you look at this and you look at things, it's not happening now. Some people believe we're in it. Some people believe that we are in the tribulation time. We are in the last days because of all the wars and the things that are going on. When that war takes place, everyone on earth has turned their back on Israel. We're not there. There are too many people fighting with them right now. So that has not taken place yet. So everything is yet to come. And so, you know, you can't, as you study through this and as we look through the importance of it, 9/27 has not happened yet. That is going to happen to the latter part of the week, of the 3.5 peace, 3.5. God's going to open the seals up. You'll have the witnesses be stoned to death. They'll come to life again. You'll have all those things going on, as we'll see in chapter 6 through 18. So when we study or look at chapter 6 through 18, we need to look at it as an event that is yet to come. It hasn't happened. It's not happening. It will happen. And the one thing that really triggers this is some type of catastrophic problem, issue, happenings in the earth that create the atmosphere for one person to come up and create peace on the earth. Not just in the Middle East. This is everywhere. And so the rapture has that potential. When the rapture takes place, there's going to be, just try to picture in your mind of the world, somewhere in the world, always are there people awake. There's no time in a day where everyone is sleeping. So in the world event, you've got life going on when that rapture takes place. You got planes crashing, you got cars crashing, you got people. Imagine the devastation that's going to be. I don't want to picture it really. And from all of that, I believe you'll find at that time such unbelievable chaos that you'll have one rise who's the Antichrist and bring it all back together. I can't take you to a verse. That's my Orndorffology. And after all my study, I put it together that direction. So that event that takes place. So we can't even begin to study 6 through 18 until we get an understanding of where we are at. We are out of here. We are in heaven. This is going on earth, and when that takes place, so everything we're studying is future. Future events that we will not be a part of. That doesn't mean we ride it out to when we leave. Because there are a lot of individuals who really believe that, really state that, really hide behind the rapture. Well, yeah, it may be a little bit bad, but I'm not going to be here for the real bad stuff. I'll just ride it out. I'm leaving. I'm gone. I'm out of here. I don't care. That is such a wrong attitude towards the rapture. If nothing else, knowing that it's intimate, knowing that it comes in a very split second, knowing that it could come right now, today, there are people that you know and people I know that don't know Christ. And by studying through chapter 6 through 18, you're going to now know what they're going to live through. You're going to know and see what they go through. And listen, hell's bad enough. This is literally going to be hell on earth. and nothing that we've ever seen before. Nothing of the war in Israel and all that the tragedy, devastation that they did is going to compare to nothing of what's going to take place. That's why chapter 5 is so important, because he is the only one worthy to judge, only one worthy to open the seals, only one that has paid the price to be able to judge man's heart, and that's Jesus Christ. That's God. And so, listen, it's coming. We know that. Let it stir you. Don't let it sit back and satisfy you. Let it stir you to the point of saying, you know, I need to really be more involved in. I need to be more looking for the opportunities to share Christ. Because we know it's happening. We know it's coming. And as we study this through and understand it even more, I believe chapter 6 covers the whole period of the 7 years. You're going to see the seals, the bowls, the judgments. You're going to see them all opening them up one by one. One by one, things are going to take place. One by one, things are going to be happening. And we can only somehow imagine what that's all going to be like. So the important part of that, as we understand God's in control of this, he has the right to be in control of it, but it's going to be something. And, you know, I look at the world today and why are the things going on the way they're going on? Why is God allowing those things to happen? Why are all these things? And I don't know if it's to be bring a fear in man that, listen, there is an end to life. There are things that are going to go on in this world that's going to, you know, cause you to think about what's next. We can't answer that. But it's nothing like what God's going to allow happen when he brings that judgment down on the earth, down on the world. And again, it's for those who completely reject him. And there will be some men saved through the tribulation time, some Gentiles saved. It's going to be a seven-year time. So not all just the babies born, not all just the people born, but there will be people who have never heard, I believe, going into that time, and they will not accept the beast. They will accept Christ, but they're going to give their life to do it. Just like the first church did. Just like the apostles did. They gave their life to believe in Jesus Christ. We haven't seen that yet. The least we can do is sacrifice some of our time and some of our wants and some of our ways of living, because that's all he's asking of us right now. So compared to what they're going to sacrifice, it's nothing. Compared to what they're going to give up, it's nothing. So knowing that these questions are important, there's two more, but I don't want to fly through them tonight. We'll pick the second two up before we actually get into opening up, or as John watched the events after the first seal and talks about them a little bit. We're going to do our best to interpret them. We're going to do our best to understand them. But it's very difficult for us to understand some of the symbolics, some of the understanding, and some of the ways that it's going to look. You have to have a really vast, deep knowledge of culture of the Old Testament and how God prophesied all this just to come into this. So we're going to do our best to get through it, and trust that, again, it stirs you. It really stirs you to move forward with a redemptive story as often as you can. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity. And God, I pray as we begin to discuss this, begin to open through this chapter 6 and talking about all the things that are going to happen. And Lord, we realize the importance that now's the time, now's the day. We need to redeem the time. We need to take the day and not waste it. We need to be sharing Christ. As we live our life, we need to show your son through our life. And then we need to talk about your son. And God, I just pray that it gives us that opportunity to continue to really just move forward and growth and move forward in our relationship with you. God, we just thank you and praise you in your son's name. Amen.